الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers, in the seerah there are two events which are flags in the seerah itself. The whole seerah, the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted that as an example for us. But like in the lives of anybody else, there are peaks and high points in the seerah. High points not in terms of more or less important, because everything about the life of the Prophet is equally important, but high points in terms of the criticality of those incidents in the life of the Prophet and subsequently therefore in the propagation of his message. And two of these very critical flags in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and the next one is the opening of Makkah, Fatah Makkah, which happened 2 years later. Now I'm saying these are high points or flags because the course of destiny changed after these. Until the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, things were going on along one line, which is that Rasulullah ﷺ continued to be persecuted, the Muslims continued to be persecuted, and this persecution went on increasing. It didn't decrease, even though 13 years of the life of Rasulullah ﷺ in Makkah is a study of 13 years of continuous oppression, with a clear factor that this oppression continuously increased. It never decreased, it continuously increased until Rasulullah ﷺ was actually driven out of his home. Now, logically, things should have calmed down after that, but they didn't. They actually heated up even more. There were no wars in Makkah. All the wars happened in Medina, the first of which was Badr, and then there was Uhud, and then there was Khandaq. So things heated up, went from bad to worse continuously. And then came the incident of Hudaybiyah. And Hudaybiyah was the peak because on the face of it, and as I always say, we have to see things both in terms of the external appearance of that thing and the reality of the thing behind it. But from the external appearance of what happened in Hudaybiyah, this was in many ways worse than a war. Because in war, even if you lose, at least you have the satisfaction of having fought. So it's all right. So I gave my best, I fought. I lost. I mean, everybody doesn't win all the time, so okay, I lost. But in Hudaybiyah, the external appearance was that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, they lost without even fighting. I mean, that's bad. That's like big time bad news. They lost without even fighting. There wasn't even a fight, nothing. They just lost. They gave it up. They surrendered, they threw down their weapons, so to speak, without even making an attempt at trying to win that particular, within quotes, battle. Rasulullah ﷺ signed a treaty which was highly humiliating, completely one-sided. And then on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tests, may Allah protect us from his tests. The whole incident of Suhail bin Amr, the negotiator on behalf of Makkah, of his son turning up in Hudaybiyah and being handed over back to his father by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son turns up there as a Muslim, hoping to get the protection of the Prophet ﷺ, and instead of getting the protection of the Prophet ﷺ, Nabi ﷺ hands him back to the enemy, to his father. The man is begging, he's saying, Ya Rasulullah, they will torture me. They have been torturing me. I escaped. I came here to get your protection. Rasulullah ﷺ says to Suhail bin Amr, he has come here. Suhail bin Amr said, no. We just agreed that anyone who comes from us to you as a Muslim will be given back to us. Now, interestingly, The treaty had not yet been written down at this point. The agreement was only verbal. It had not been written down. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even hinted towards that. Suhail bin Amr says, I don't care. I do not care. I go by your word. Khalas. You agreed. That's enough. What is writing? Writing is nothing. Written, not written makes no difference. You agreed. Finished. End of the matter. So if you don't hand over this son of mine to me, there's no treaty. Salaam alaikum. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the son of Suhail bin Amr, go with your father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, have sabr. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walks near the man. He walks, the man has been, you know, he's been captured, he's being taken by the people of Suhail bin Amr. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walks close to him, loosens his sword in the scabbard and says, take my sword, kill your father. Your father is the enemy. You can kill him. Take my sword, kill your father, escape. The son of Suhail bin Amr says, no, I will not do that. The point I'm making is, what kind of a test is that? Loss after loss after loss. And then comes to this, which is the ultimate. Imagine the position, the personal position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this particular test. Here is the Prophet of Allah who is the recipient of wahi. His dream is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees in his dream that he is taking people for Umrah. He announces this publicly. People come with him and they cannot make Umrah. What does it do to his credibility? On the face of it, what does that do to his credibility? Completely. Eh? Completely gone. People could have said, you are the Nabi of Allah, your dream is wahi, so how come it's not happening? So now we must question, are you really Nabi or what? Think about this. All this happened in Hudaybiyah. Loss, 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 loss. Ultimately, a very humiliating treaty. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what ayat did he reveal? What ayat did Allah reveal with respect to Hudaybiyah? Allah revealed, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. Allah says, we have verily given you a great and clear and manifest victory. What victory? What victory? The external appearance is a humiliating loss. And Allah says, we have given you a manifest and clear victory. Many of the Mufassirin, they have said that this ayat is a prophecy about the Fatah of Makkah, which is to come 2 years from that point. Wallahu alam, the Mufassirin have more knowledge than me, I am not disputing that. But my understanding is, this ayat may have been a prophecy, wallahu alam, Allah knows what he revealed. But to me, this ayat is about a victory which actually happened in Hudaybiyah. And that was the clearest victory. And what was that victory? The victory was the victory of the hukum of Allah, of the decision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over personal desire. Over what the Sahaba wanted themselves. That was the victory. The Sahaba wanted to do what? They wanted to go make Umrah. They were not wanting to do something haram. They didn't want to go to Malakpet and, you know, participate in the races. Have you ever wondered, this is on a side note, have you ever wondered why we have fundraising iftars for Muslim organizations who are doing charity work? Think about this. Why is it that we have fundraising iftars in Ramadan for Muslim organizations who are doing fundraising for charity work, who are trying to help the Rohingyas or trying to help the Palestinian people or trying to help our people, poor people here and so on? They have to actually invite people who are dying of overeating in their houses to feed them some more food for free, as if they need it, and spend their own money so that they will give them some pittance in zakat. How come there is no fundraising dinner for Malakpet Racecourse? Please support our boxes. Dabbon ke paise do. Naya hai, kabhi naya na? Kahi ko nahi hai bhai? Soch ke dekho, there should be, no? There should be a fundraising dinner for something haram because the whole world wants to ignore this haram. Sorry, we are not with you in the haram. No, please, please, please. We have to feed the horses. We have to feed the sais. Please give us some money. We make tawbah. Have you ever heard this? You know what? You know what one box membership in Malakpet costs? Give and take, including all the stuff you have to do, 5 crores. 5 crores. How many Muslims do you know who have gone to an iftar for a charity organization and written a check for 5 crores? I can count them on the finger of no hand, because I don't need a hand to count. There is nobody such. There is no such person. Malakpet Racecourse is full of them. The line of Muslims waiting with five crores. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the day of judgment. La zulm al yawm. Allah said on that day, there will be no zulm. The one who enters the hellfire will have earned it. He would have worked for it. He would have paid for it. He bought his ticket in the hellfire. So, most welcome. You bought the ticket. Here's the hellfire. Go ahead. Use it. So, what was the victory in Hudaybiyah? The victory in Hudaybiyah was, here was a Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, who came with the desire to make Umrah, with the desire to do the tawaf of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came with belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one stroke, their desire to make Umrah cancelled. Their belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shaken. Yet what did they do? What did they do? Did they say, sorry, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I think I got to take a recall on this thing. I mean, I've been believing in you all this time, but I really need to think it through again, you know. What happened to your dream? Did they do that? Did they say, we came, you want to sign these treaties? No problem, you sign it, that's for you. We are going to make Umrah. And whoever wants to fight, we fight them. Did they do that? They did not do that. The Mufassirin described that scene, subhanAllah, ajeeb. The treaty is signed, Zubair bin Amr gone, the Sahaba sitting there. The writer of the historian says it was like a tragedy. It was like somebody sitting for a funeral. No sound. People sitting there, long faces, grief-stricken, tears flowing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, shave your heads and sacrifice the animals that you brought for Umrah. And for the first time, the Sahaba did not move. They did not say we won't do it, but they didn't move. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his rahmah, he did not repeat the command. He did not repeat the command. His face became red and he got up from his seat and he entered his tent. And in his tent, hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has many wives. Who was in the tent with him? Which was the wife he took with him to Hudaybiyah? The senior most. Umm Salama radiallahu anha. When he entered the tent, she looked at him. She knew something is wrong. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the matter? He said, my ummah is destroying itself. See the words of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, my ummah is destroying itself. How is the ummah destroying itself? Because to disobey the Prophet is irtidad. It is becoming a murtad. It is leaving Islam. It is opening the door of the hellfire for yourself. He said, my ummah is destroying itself. Ummah Salama radiallahu anha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who am I to make dua for somebody like her? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her the best of the best. She said, Ya Rasulullah, they are not destroying yourself. She said, this is a very difficult time. She said, for them, it is a very, very difficult time. She said, the time has come. She said, inshallah, you go out there and you shave your head and you ask for your sacrificial animals to be brought and you sacrifice your animals, inshallah, they will obey you. You demonstrate it, they will do it. What was the reaction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did he say, excuse me, do I get wahi or you get wahi? I am a man. Qawwamun ala nisa. You are telling me what to do. Am I the prophet of Allah or you the prophet? Did he say all this? No. He took the advice of his wife. He took the advice of his wife. And he went out of his tent. He called Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib and said, bring the animals. He called the Sahabi who was designated to shave his head. He sat down and he said, shave my head. And the Muwarriqeen, the historians say, the Sahaba, all of them got up, they brought their animals, they shaved their heads, and the man says, the writer says, that their blood mixed with their tears. Because he said they were shaving each other's heads and they were weeping at the same time. Not weeping out of weakness. Not weeping out of weakness. Weeping out of grief that comes to a strong man who cannot use his strength. And in this entire scene, what is Allah saying? Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. Allah says, now you are victorious. Allah says, and Allah is not saying you, Allah says, we have given you. Huma tawfiq illa billah. Without the tawfiq of Allah, this would never have happened. Allah strengthened their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the tawfiq to obey the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though it was against their own hearts. Even though it was against their own desires, they did not like the command. They didn't want to do it. It was very hard on them. Yet they did it. And when they did it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. Verily today we have given you great victory. Makkah was the prize. Makkah fell. Makkah opened without a single shot being fired. All the leaders of Makkah were alive and well at the time. Abu Sufyan was alive and well. Khalid bin Walid was alive and well. Amr bin As was alive and well. They were all alive and well in Makkah. They had weapons. They had troops. They were not Muslim. Technically, what should have happened? They should have fought. Even if they fought to die, because that was the nature of the earth. These were brave people. They said, I am not going to accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my ruler. I am going to fight. Even if I die, it's fine. All of them were more than capable of doing that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam may still have won and he would still have won. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to make him win. But it would not have been bloodless. It would not have been without a loss. It would have been a regular victory of a battle. But it wasn't. Makkah was conquered the day Hudaybiyah's treaty was signed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gift wrapped Makkah and gave it free. Why? That was the price. The money for the price, the cost of the price was paid where? In Hudaybiyah. And what was the cost? To make your desire subservient to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That was the price. That was the victory. The victory was this. To make the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala win over your own desire. This was the victory. And that's the reason why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your iman, he said, you will never be a Muslim until you make your desire subservient to the religion that I have brought, to the deen that I have brought. In Hudaybiyah, they did that. The fatah, the victory, was the victory over the self, the victory over the nafs, the victory over desire. And as I said, the desire of the Sahaba was halal of the halal. It was a desire for ibadah. We're not talking about desire over haram desire, or victory over haram desires. We're talking, in the case of the Sahaba, it was victory over a halal desire. But the command of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach them that the command of my Nabi has superiority even over nafil ibadah. They're going for Umrah, not for Hajj. The command of the Nabi is superior even over nafil ibadah. What is the dalil of this? Sahabi is praying in the masjid. He comes and he stands for Tahiyatul Masjid Wallahu Alam. He starts his salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls him. The man is in salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows he is in salah. He's seeing him. He calls him. The man does not respond. He quickly finishes his salah. He comes and says, Salaamu Alaikum Ya Rasulullah, you called me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why did you not answer when I called you? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was in salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my Nabi calls, answer him. He said, did you not hear this ayah? What is the meaning of that? The hukum of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has superiority even over nafil ibadah. Allah wanted the sahaba to learn this lesson. Very hard lesson. Very difficult lesson. Why am I saying all of this? Because today, the reason we don't have victory, the reason why we are oppressed, the reason why we are beating about the bush all over the place is because we have not learned this lesson. In our case, it is not victory of Allah's hukum over halal. It is a victory of Allah's hukum over haram. All the desires, just take each one of us needs to do this self-analysis and say, what in my life am I doing which I know is against the order of Allah, which I know is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Believe me, you don't have to be a Mufti Azam for this. We all know very clearly what we are doing. We know what is correct. We know what is not correct. We know what is obedience. We know what is disobedience. And we are deliberately disobeying Allah. My brothers and sisters who are not here but who listen to this thing, there are consequences for every action. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. Every choice comes with a price tag. Every single choice comes with a price tag. Please understand this. And the price tag is not only for yourself. Your children are watching you. The people who work for you are watching you. And they hold you as an example for themselves. If they see you disobeying Allah, in their own time, they will disobey Allah. And they will hold you as the dalil. My father used to do this. My sheikh used to do this. My maulvi and my maulana and my ustad used to do this. Make no mistake. And you will pay for your sins and you will also pay for their sins, which you didn't even commit, but because of the example that you created for them in your house, they did those things. And you are the bearer of that burden. Ask yourself, do you really want this? Do you want this? Can you afford it? If you can't afford it, time to change is now. Free, there's no cost, price attached. Nobody's asking you for anything. Time to change is now. The Fatah of Makkah, the victory of Makkah happened because the Sahaba made that very hard choice. They made the very hard choice. Remember, only the Prophet was getting wahi. The Sahaba were not getting wahi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, and he did say, that this is the hukum from my Rabb. I'm signing this treaty because Allah has told me to sign. He had that peace of mind, my Rabb wants me to sign. But every Sahabi made that decision on his own, in his heart, without wahi. Do I obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? He was not getting wahi. Jibreel did not come to him and say, please obey him because he's the... No. They made the decision on their own. They made that decision on their own. They were not getting any wahi. And neither am I getting wahi and neither will you get wahi. We have to make that decision on our own. Do we want to obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Believe me, there is a consequence of obeying and there is a consequence of disobeying. The consequence of obeying is that Allah will hand over the keys of His treasures to you. The consequence of obeying is that you raise your hands in dua and your hands will not lower without that dua being accepted by Allah. You want this? Do it. You don't want this? Your choice. The consequence of disobeying is that you can cry till you die. Allah will not give you. Allah will not give you. The key of the treasure of Allah will be locked and the key will be thrown away. It will not open for you. Because the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are only for those who obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi to be obeyed. He did not send His Nabi to be disobeyed. And the one who obeys His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hands over the key. The Sahaba, I say this many times, Hudaybiyah was the final qualifying examination for the Sahaba. Final qualifying examination, the graduation was Hudaybiyah. They graduated successfully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors for them. After Hudaybiyah, there were no attacks on Medina. There were no battles, no nothing. Nothing happened after Hudaybiyah. The whole of Jaziratul Arab became Muslim. There were 1,400 people in Hudaybiyah. There were 10,000 people who went to Makkah. Allah opened the doors. Who gives hidayah? Allah gives hidayah. People say, when we narrate all this, people say, people accepted Islam because the threat of the Makkans was no longer there. People were able to propagate. You are propagating, I am propagating. How come nobody accepts Islam? Who is standing with a sword on your neck or my neck if you want to go and present Islam today? Nobody. We have huge conferences. We've got all kinds of things. How many people are accepting Islam? One person accepts Islam in a conference, we tom-tom that thing from the rooftops. Why? Because nobody else is accepting. With the Sahaba, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Not one and two. Entire armies of people. Whole countries. Whole countries. How many Sahaba came to India? How many went to Malaysia? You can count them on the fingers of one or two hands. Two people, three people, four people. Entire countries became Muslim. The consequences of the Hudaybiyah did not end with Makkah. Allah opened the doors for the Sahaba. As long as there was a Sahabi on the face of the earth, he did not lose. His dua was never rejected. Never rejected. Every Sahabi. Allah opened the doors for them. And that is the choice for us. What do you want? Ramadan is a time for introspection. Ramadan is a time for reflection. Ramadan is a time to make some serious changes in our lives. Ramadan is a time to stop fooling yourself. Ramadan is a time to remember the Akhirah. Ramadan is a time to remember that a day will come when either you will be very happy for the choices you made and you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I hope every single one of us, inshallah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us may we be among those who will be very, very happy that we made these choices. Or may Allah protect us. We will be among those who will cry tears of blood, believe me. Will cry tears of blood. And they will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. I wish I was mud. I wish I was dust. I wish I had never been born. What kind of a choice did I make? What kind of a choice? Ya laytani kuntu turaba. We ask Allah to save us from that fate. That is the worst of the fate. Because there is no turning back after that. There is no turning back after that. We ask Allah to save us from that fate. The reason I'm saying this whole Hudaybiyah and Makkah thing is because it's so critically important to understand this. These two peak points in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and enable us to learn the lessons from the seerah so that this seerah becomes a source of guidance as it is meant to be for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these choices easy for us by opening for us the doors of understanding where we realize the consequences of our choices, where we realize that a small little thing which is really our personal desire, we are allowing that to become the block between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are allowing that small desire to become the canceller, the deleter of all our du'as. What sense does it make, Wallahi, subhanallah? What sense does it make? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the hukum of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam completely and totally commanding over every desire that we have. Whether it is to do with things which are external or whether it is to do with things which are internal in every single aspect of our lives, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will make the hukum of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam completely and totally superior and to be obeyed unquestioningly, which is the position of the Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all your du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you more than you ask. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what you ask and give you more from His generosity as a gift from Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gift from Him, jalla jalaluhu. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased and to enable us to take the best out of Ramadan for which He has sent this month. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.